We'd also like to just have you, there you go, stand and welcome one another now. Thank you. Hello, Lauren.
Hello, I've got a cold, so I'll give you one of these.
How are you? Before you leave, I wanted to update you. Hello.
I'm running a little bit of a cold.
So. Oh, you are? Okay.
Maybe there a you fist bump will do it.
Hello, Miss Bonnie.
Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Janice. I'm good.
Hey, we had an echo.
Good evening.
Hello, Robert. How are you? Hello, how are you, Gail? Good job, Tim. Hello, how are you? You doing well? I think I catch up with you too at confirmations. Everything going okay?
Yeah.
Good. Thank you for work. Please join us for our opening hymn, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain, verses 1 through 4, hymn number 435. Infection and uncleanness from the leprosy of sin. Wash your robes and make them white. Walk with God in light. Come in sorrow and contrition, wounded, impotent, and blind. The guilty free remission here the troubled peace may find. This fountain will restore. Drink shall thirst no more. They that drink shall live. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open thou my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first lesson this evening is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, beginning at the first verse. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord shall, your God shall choose, to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our father to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Armenian was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid us on hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, our God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. Here ends our first reading. The second reading is taken from the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 8. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on one and all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here ends the reading of the epistle. Please stand for the gospel lesson. This text will also serve as the basis for tonight's devotion. The gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not watch with me even 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, after the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were hungry and heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for them a third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is now at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Here ends the reading of our gospel. You may be seated. Our message this evening is taken from that very section of Scripture, and it's talking about prayer and the importance of prayer, keeping our Lenten theme of prayer going on. And as we look at this text, I would like to have us remember that this is a drama that is unparalleled in the Gospels. You can almost see it in movie form here as we are reading it, if you read this entire chapter of Matthew 26. You would read that there's a plot to kill Jesus that's going on within his own disciples, a deep state, if you will. We see and we hear that there's a woman who has come into the midst of all the disciples and is going in the presence of Jesus and is pouring ointment and perfume over the head of Jesus and his feet. And Jesus is not taken aback by it, but rather the disciples are, and they say, this could have been sold and given to the poor. This was very costly. And Jesus tells his disciples, this was a good thing that she did, for she was preparing his body for burial. Thus Jesus was saying again to them, he was going to die. Then we start to look at the plot that was unfolding, that Judas that very evening would betray Jesus, and there was a place picked out. And then you have, of course, the Lord's Supper, a remembrance of the Passover. But Jesus puts a whole new twist on it, making it even more significant for this time and this meaning, that they were being passed over, not of days gone by, but of a new Passover, where their sins would be forgiven and God would restore them as his children. Where Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood. Jesus predicted he was going to die. But you also remember that night when I believe that Judas was still there, and Jesus was saying, the one in whom I dipped my bread into the bowl with, he is the one who will betray me. As we start to see this drama unfold time after time again, you can just see the suspense of those who were involved in this. And then Jesus, knowing that he was about to be betrayed, he says, they will strike the shepherd, and the sheep, all of them, will fall away. He predicted and told them that they would all fall away. And even Peter would deny knowing Jesus three times before the rooster had crowed twice. And so you see this drama unfolding. And as we come to this place called the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, in his ministry of three short years, is now seeing all of this unfold and says all of the disciples are going to be leaving. And he's wondering, I'm sure humanly, how it's all going to be, how it's all going to end up, as he puts his very life on the line. And there in the garden, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and he invites them to come along and pray for him. Have you ever been so sorrowful, so saddened, to be like Jesus, to say, my soul is so sorrowful that it's even unto death, that you want your friends to remain with you, just to be a ministry of presence, to sit and to pray with you, to be there for you and with you? That's why Jesus invited Peter, James, and John. But then you remember Jesus going off to by himself a little while, and the disciples were told to just simply pray. And he prays to his Father, his heavenly Father. He says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but thy will be done. You see, it is in prayer that Jesus' desire and his heavenly Father's will would meet. It was in prayer that Jesus' request would hear the Father's response. It was in Jesus asking that he would hear his heavenly Father's answer. And as you and I start to think about and see in our own prayer life, it's so much the same. And Jesus prayed, thy will be done. I know I shared with you that when Desiree's mother was so seriously ill, the doctors weren't giving much hope. And I really didn't know how to pray, whether it's most merciful to just let her go, or if it was more merciful to say, Lord, heal her. And I remember in the shower praying out loud, Lord, thy will be done. And I meant it. I'd been brought to that point in my life, in my prayer life, where I could honestly say, Lord, I don't know, but your will, thy will be done. You know best. As you and I start to look at our own lives and see things such as cancer or job losses, or we think about our current state of affairs that we've sent letters out for recently, I hope that we can pray, "Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Lead us, Lord, but your will. Our desire, but your will. Our request, but your response. Our ask, but your answer." Where our prayers meet up with the will of our Heavenly Father. And that is what Jesus found out in that garden that night. He came to the disciples again, our text tells us, and he found them sleeping. And he says to them, to Peter especially, he says, "Can you not even watch with me for 1 hour?" What we see is that we know that Jesus didn't have a quick bedtime prayer. He'd been praying for an hour or more. And he went back to do that, you remember, 2 more times. And each time he kept finding the disciples sleeping. And Jesus says to the disciples who he is concerned for and how they would handle everything, he said, "Peter, pray that you may not enter into your temptation." And then he said that your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. I must admit that sometimes that's really me. You probably could too. When you start to think and you start to see and you start to understand the immensity and the power of prayer and how Jesus saw it, but how little time we put into it when we see it as a possibility. But it is Jesus who reminds me, and I hope he reminds you, of the importance and the power that is found in prayer. Jesus again prays, "Let this cup pass from me. But if it cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. If there's no other plan, Lord, Heavenly Father, if there's no other payment that can be made, your will be done." Again, Jesus found the disciples sleeping. You might remember their eyes were droopy and drowsy, heavy. And sometimes that happens to us. Jesus goes back a third time and he prays. And he says the same words, "Your will be done." You know, don't we pray that often in the Lord's Prayer? "Your will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as you and I start to think about the many opportunities and things in our life, our prayers, we need to see them as God's opportunity to speak and communicate with us his will. And for us to see that it is there that we meet up with God and our messages and our communications are shared. And when we are brought to saying, "Thy will be done," and mean it, then we know that our Lord and our Savior and what he was faced with. Jesus came back and he found the disciples asleep again. And he realized that this was the moment of his prayer that he had been praying, "Let this cup pass me if there's any other way." But it was at this moment that God's plan had been put into motion, and it was in action that Judas was then marching the soldiers to this place where they would find Jesus, and he would go and he would betray Jesus with a kiss. God's will was being accomplished. It was in prayer that Christ's desire and his Heavenly Father's will met. It was here that Christ was obedient, even unto death, death upon a cross. Christ was strengthened through his prayer to pick up his cross and to follow Christ, seeking to do and to follow his will. And we in prayer are moved and motivated also to pick up our crosses daily, even daily, and follow Christ according to his will. And when you and I start to see all of this coming together and God's plan for us, his answer to that prayer, we need to have strength and courage because we know it is the Lord's will. You know, we don't have a good luck God. where we just rub up against prayer like a spiritual rabbit's foot, hoping that God will just come through again. He may, and He may be, according to His will, answering the prayer the very same way you're asking it. But like Jesus, sometimes the answer is, no, I have another plan. Pick up your cross and follow me. We are strengthened even when we are called to suffer for His name. And that's the Lord's will. Our God is an overcomer who gets us through those tough times. Our God is an empowerer and a conqueror. Our God is an all-powerful, almighty God, and He is always with us and will get us through these things as He accomplishes His will, as He does it in our lives and through us. I hope and I pray that as you and I approach His throne of mercy and grace, praying for Trinity, praying for your marriage, praying for your health, praying for your health and your job, all of those things, that you can pray, Thy will be done, Lord. May God bless us all, as His will is done in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join me in singing the hymn 779, verses 1 through 3. I'll gather the offerings unto the Lord. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed do give you thanks for teaching us in our prayers that there are times where your will and our request meet and they differ. And yet there is a commonness and a strength and a peace that we are given in prayer to be able to say and believe and trust Thy will be done and allow us to be obedient, and to pick up our cross and to follow you, trusting and believing that your will is best. Lord, we give you thanks for this lesson from Gethsemane. And we ask you, Lord, as we pray, that we may pray that your will would be done and to truly mean those words. We ask you, Lord, also that you would bless our congregation and our school and our ministry and our membership at this hour and this time. We pray, Thy will be done. Lord Jesus, we also give you thanks for the many opportunities to share our faith. And as we plant seeds of faith with those who we are meeting maybe for the first time or someone who's been a relative for a lifetime, we ask you, O Lord, that those words would not fall on deaf ears, but that your will would be accomplished as those words are shared, to carry them as gospel seeds of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray that you would be with the family of Mary Condon, who passed away having lived 101 years of life and 6 days. We thank you for her life as a testimony and as a witness. We ask that you would comfort her family and her friends at her passing. And we rejoice in the fact of the promises of salvation that you've granted all who believe in you, and for the opportunity to have shared that this day at her memorial service. May you bless one and all who were there, and especially her family, comforting them at this hour. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for the family of Ryan Schroeder, who was killed in an automobile accident this past 2 days. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would be with his 3 daughters, that you would help and protect and bless and strengthen the entire family, and that you would keep them in your arms of mercy and grace, comforting them with the promise of life everlasting, allowing them to believe and to trust in you, that you are indeed the resurrection and the life. We place them into your hands, O Lord, and ask you, O Lord, to grant each of these family members a faith that is unwavering. Allow them to see that you are at work, even at this hour, in their lives. May you bless all who will gather in the worship service this Saturday, and may you bless our message and worship at that time as well. May you comfort them with your presence and the surrounding them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we pray that prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. Please join us for our final hymn, hymn 433. You may be seated. There are a few Lenten iDignity cans in the back. If you'd like to take one of those home for your household, please do so. And during the Lenten season, we'll be collecting coins to help support the ministry of iDignity. So if you would like to take one home, those are in the back. There's also some up here in the front if you exit by the side door. Also, I want to say, the memorial service for Ryan Schroeder will be this Saturday at 11. Do I have that right? 11 a.m. And we're going to be doing that here at Trinity. And I wanted to make you aware of that. And I do welcome your cards and family and your presence here to support this family. And this would be the nephew of Eva, if I have it correctly. So, thank you. And we're certainly sorry from the Trinity family to your family. Also, to remind you, there is a voters meeting this coming Sunday at 11 o'clock. It is important, and we hope that you will be present and consider that option at 11 o'clock. Following the 11 o'clock service, we'll actually have the voters meeting. Go to any service you'd like, but please come to the voters after the 11 o'clock service. It should be around 12:15 or so that we'll start. Any announcements from you? If not, have a blessed week, a joyous week in service to your Lord and Savior. And it's good to see you here tonight. Thank you. Service of Jesus. Amen.